Tonight, the dangerous ice storm hitting parts of the east, the states of emergency right now, and the brutal cold in the northeast. And the CDC tonight, and news on boosters. The CDC releasing new numbers, clear evidence that booster shots protect against the Omicron variant, increasing protection back up to 90%, dramatically reducing hospitalizations and death. And tonight here, British scientists also now investigating a sub-variant of Omicron, also detected here in the U.S. and what they know so far. That dangerous ice storm hitting along much of the East Coast right now, states of emergency in effect, a treacherous commute home, and that cold for millions in the Northeast. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee is standing by tonight. She'll track it all. The high-stakes standoff along the Ukraine border tonight, the U.S. and Russia meeting today. What they said after, and the gunfire, as our correspondent was reporting, interviewing a Ukrainian general on the front lines. A reality check tonight on rising tensions there. The Justice Department here at home arresting a Texas man for threatening elections officials in Georgia. Tonight, you will hear the threats, and is there more coming on this front? Air Thomas with late reporting. What the FBI just revealed tonight in the Gabby Petito case, what they found in Brian Laundrie's notebook. The images coming in, the high school shooting in Maryland, the school on lockdown, and the tributes pouring in for rock and roll powerhouse Meat Loaf, the driving force behind one of the most epic rock albums of all time. And we remember a well-known actor and comedian tonight, too, how he's being remembered as well.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. We'll get to this ice storm hitting as we're on the air tonight. States of emergency, treacherous driving at this hour. Ginger Zee is standing by on that front. But we are going to begin tonight with the pandemic. The CDC tonight with new evidence that booster shots do in fact provide a strong defense against Omicron. New data from the CDC showing two vaccine doses without the booster were 57% effective against hospitalizations, but that the booster shot, a third shot, brings protection back up to 90% against Omicron. And people 65 and older who were fully vaccinated and boosted were 90 times less likely to die than unvaccinated people in that age group. This all comes as Omicron is still raging across much of the country, and this eye-opening number tonight. One quarter of all confirmed COVID cases since the beginning of this pandemic have been in just the last month. 18 million new cases of COVID in just 4 weeks' time. Still, 745,000 new cases a day as we see cases come down slightly in areas that were the first epicenters. That is encouraging. But the very real strain on hospitals continues. 160,000 patients nationwide, 21,000 new COVID patients admitted every day. And the battle over masks in schools. One mother in Virginia threatening to bring all of her guns, she said, loaded and ready to school if they made her kids wear masks. And tonight, the early news here on this new subvariant of Omicron, now under investigation in the UK. It has been seen here in the US as well, and what we know so far. ABC's Marcus Moore leading us off from Oklahoma tonight.
Tonight, the first clear evidence from the CDC showing vaccine boosters are a critical weapon against Omicron. A new study found that two doses was 57% effective against hospitalizations 6 months later, but a third shot boosted protection back up to 90%.
Protection against infection and hospitalization with the Omicron variant is highest for those who are up to date with their vaccination, meaning those who are boosted when they are eligible.
But less than half of Americans who are eligible have gotten their booster. The CDC says older people benefit the most from that extra shot. Those 65 and older who were fully vaccinated and boosted were 90 times less likely to die than the unvaccinated in that age group. And tonight, British scientists are investigating a subvariant of Omicron called BA.2. It's been detected in 40 countries, including the U.S. They say there's no evidence it's more dangerous, and it has not been labeled a variant of concern. But earlier today, Dr. Anthony Fauci said we need to be on guard for new variants.
We have to be prepared for it. So we hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
For now, hospitals across the country are buckling under the crush of patients. At smaller hospitals in Oklahoma, teams are caring for their neighbors.
They're people you work with. They're people that go to your church. The people you see in Walmart every day. But you have to take care of them. You have to do it anyway. So you do. And then the next day comes and you do it again.
And after nearly a million pediatric infections last week, there is renewed debate over protecting children. A proposal in California would let kids 12 and older get vaccinated without their parents' consent.
COVID is taking away their happiness and futures, and we can't ignore this crisis anymore.
But in Virginia, the new governor reversing school mask mandates starting Monday.
As we battle COVID, it's parents that should decide the health measures taken for their children.
But after some districts pushed back, one mother at this school board meeting threatening to bring guns to her children's school if it tried to enforce the mandate.
No mask mandates. My children will not come to school on Monday with a mask on. All right? That's not happening. And I will bring every single gun loaded and ready. I'll see y'all on Monday.
Police say the mother later apologized. The incident under investigation, but no arrests have been made.
Marcus Moore with us tonight. And Marcus, the CDC also revealing what we've thought for some time here, that Omicron has brought more breakthrough infections than Delta did, but that the vaccines and boosters significantly have helped knock this down.
Yeah, David, researchers found that Omicron is more likely to cause breakthrough infections than Delta, even among people who were boosted, but that protection from more serious illness remained high. David.
And that's been a good thing, Marcus Moore tonight. Marcus, thank you. And as I mentioned off the top tonight, we're also tracking that dangerous ice storm triggering states of emergency. Freezing rain, sleet and snow, treacherous weather from Texas to the Carolinas and Virginia. At this hour, it is getting worse in the Carolinas. A half inch of ice could accumulate on roads, trees, power lines. In fact, power companies are on standby as we go into the night. An ambulance slid off an icy road and down an embankment near Raleigh. The patient, who was already in cardiac arrest, did not survive. Two others were injured. And then, of course, the brutal cold moving in across several states just as we start this weekend. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z back with us again tonight. She's tracking it all for us. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, David. This savage cold that we are enduring here has made it to the ground level down in South Carolina, North Carolina. But up higher, it's warmer. So rain is falling, but it's into this freezing surface. So it is freezing on contact. And that's where you get that ice. You can see it on the radar. From Maryland back to Georgia, there are alerts. And there will be snow on the backside of this. But it really is that ice that we get concerned about, taking down power lines, obviously covering roads. The bulk of this storm happens in the late hours tonight into the early hours of tomorrow. It's gone by the time most people are awake. But unfortunately, if you were to lose power, look at those wind chills. It feels like 20 tomorrow morning in Charleston, 15 Raleigh. It'll be single digits up here and sub-zero as you get closer to the Canadian border. David.
All right. Ginger Z doing double duty, and we appreciate it. We turn overseas tonight and to the high-stakes standoff along the border between Ukraine and Russia. Our correspondent reporting from the front lines in eastern Ukraine. Russian troops, of course, positioned nearby. He was interviewing a Ukrainian general when gunfire went off, just underscoring the growing tension there in the region. Meanwhile, in Geneva, what was said after the U.S. Secretary of State met with Russia's foreign minister? Here's our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, again tonight from Ukraine.
Tonight, no breakthrough in these high-stakes talks, but the U.S. and Russia appearing to take a step back from the brink in the standoff over Ukraine. Secretary of State Blinken offering to send American proposals in writing to Russia's Foreign Minister Lavrov next week, and even opening the door to a possible summit with Putin.
If it proves useful and productive for the two presidents to meet, to engage, to try to carry things forward, I think we're fully prepared to do that.
The Kremlin demanding a guarantee Ukraine won't join NATO as over 100,000 heavily armed Russian troops mass on Ukraine's borders. Today, Lavrov repeating denials they'll invade, but Blinken vowing a swift and severe response if they do, repeating President Biden's warning after Biden came under fire this week for saying, quote, a minor incursion by Russia might not warrant the same response. That went down badly with the soldiers here in eastern Ukraine who've been facing Russian-backed rebels for 8 years.
We're moving through the trenches towards the front lines against Russian-backed separatist forces. The failure to reach a political agreement has only made the tension here and the risks even greater.
Even our interview with Lieutenant General Alexander Pavlyuk interrupted by gunfire.
Empire, it can't be an empire. Don't know whether you heard that there, we just heard a gunshot.
The general commands 50,000 soldiers and takes issue with Biden's comments. I don't know what a small invasion could be, he says. any Russian invasion would come straight through here. And for the frontline soldiers, Putin can't be trusted.
Vladimir Putin says he's not going to invade. He's not going to attack. You believe him?
I can't believe him, what he said.
You don't believe him?
Because you can say anything what you want.
And so let's bring in Ian panel again tonight, reporting from eastern Ukraine. And Ian, as you reported there, it would appear both sides, the U.S. and Russia, appear to have taken a step back here from the brink. On the other hand, we saw you witness gunfire during your interview with the general there. So give us a reality check. What is the real level of tension along the front lines there?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's right, David. I mean, I think in many ways it actually feels even more tense than when we were here in December. One officer telling me back last month that he didn't think an invasion was likely. I met him again today and now he's convinced it is. Even though Blinken and Lavrov have agreed to have this meeting for now, diplomacy still seems to be alive. What they want is even more American military aid. And the general I met today thinks it's US military aid above all that is the best deterrent against any potential Russian attack. David?
Ian panel on our team in Ukraine again tonight. Ian, we thank you. And this evening, the U.S. has now confirmed it is conducting airstrikes in Syria to help Kurdish forces put down an ISIS assault on a prison there, the largest ISIS action since their military defeat. The Pentagon now says the prison houses some 5,000 ISIS fighters, some attempting a jailbreak as a car bomb went off and ISIS fighters attacked. Syrian Kurd troops are battling to retake the prison, the conflict forcing civilians there to flee. Meantime, back here at home tonight, and to news coming in late today, what the FBI has now revealed in the Gabby Petito case, what they now say they discovered in Brian Laundrie's notebook. Here's ABC's Victor Akendo.
Tonight, the stunning new details inside the investigation into the killing of Gabby Petito. The FBI saying her former boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, admitted to killing Petito in a notebook before taking his own life in a Central Florida nature preserve, saying in a statement, a review of the notebook revealed written statements by Mr. Laundrie claiming responsibility for Miss Petito's death. That notebook found near his body along with a gun and backpack. Authorities adding the investigation did not identify any other individuals other than Laundrie directly involved in the tragic death of Petito. Her body was found in Wyoming in September. The coroner concluding Petito died of blunt force injuries to the head and neck with manual strangulation. Laundrie on the run from authorities for about a month until his remains were discovered. Petito's family, seen here, leaving a meeting with FBI officials this week. Their attorney saying, "We truly appreciate the FBI's diligent and painstaking efforts in this extremely complicated case. The quality and quantity of the facts and information collected by the FBI leave no doubt Ryan Laundrie murdered Gabby."
And investigators say that Laundrie also sent text messages between his phone and Petito's after she went missing in an attempt to deceive law enforcement to make it seem like she was still alive. David?
All right, Victor Kendo with us tonight. Thank you, Victor. The Justice Department revealing a Texas man has now been charged for allegedly making death threats against elections officials in Georgia. This is the first known arrest brought by a special election threat task force at the Justice Department. Here's our Chief Justice Correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight.
Tonight, the Justice Department releasing evidence of the growing threats facing election workers across the nation. 850 reports since June alone.
We have all seen that Americans who serve and interact with the public at every level, many of whom make our democracy work every day, have been targeted with violence and threats of violence.
Today, federal prosecutors announcing the arrest and indictment of a Texas man accused of threatening to kill election workers in Georgia. At one point on Craigslist, calling on, quote, Georgia patriots, writing, "If we want our country back, we have to exterminate these people." Sources telling ABC News one of the officials threatened was Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. In the days after the election, President Trump and his allies pressured Raffensperger, both in public and in private.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes.
At the time, one top Georgia election official said the pressure was putting lives at risk.
Death threats, physical threats, intimidation. It's too much. It's not right.
That Texas suspect faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted of making interstate threats. And David, authorities said there are currently dozens of federal investigations underway into these threats against election officials. David?
All right, Pierre Thomas tonight. Pierre, thank you. The FBI now says that hostage standoff at a synagogue in Colleyville, Texas, is now being investigated as both a hate crime and an act of terror. The standoff at Congregation Beth Israel lasting nearly 12 hours, as you'll remember, British suspect Malik Akram holding several people hostage. He was shot and killed by a special FBI hostage rescue team as the hostages were escaping. Tonight, a federal judge in Texas has suspended the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for federal workers, calling it an overstep of presidential authority. Judge Jeffrey Vincent Brown citing the recent Supreme Court decision blocking the mandate for large businesses. The federal worker mandate took effect in November and applies to 3.5 million American workers. The White House tonight saying more than 98% are now vaccinated. The DOJ immediately filing an appeal. When we come back on this busy Friday night, news of a high school shooting, that school put on lockdown, and two passings to note tonight. We pay tribute to a beloved comedian and actor, and we celebrate a rock and roll legend. Tonight, police are investigating a high school shooting in Magruder, Maryland. At least one student was shot and wounded. He was found unconscious in a restroom at Magruder High School and then rushed to the hospital in critical condition. That school placed on lockdown for a time. Authorities say another student is now in custody tonight. Also this evening, the NAACP is now responding to words from Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. His comments after the voting rights bill failed to pass the Senate, a victory for Republicans.
The concern is misplaced because if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans.
Tonight, the head of the NAACP issuing a statement saying, until democracy is secured for all Americans, which includes African Americans, Senator McConnell, the fight will continue. Today, the senator called the criticism of what he said an outrageous mischaracterization and that he meant to say African Americans are voting at just as high a percentage as all Americans. When we come back, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to pay tribute tonight to a beloved comedian and actor and that rock and roll legend. Born Marvin Lee Adday in Dallas, we knew him as Meatloaf. Come on. Meatloaf, his name and his voice, unforgettable. The booming rock star and his 1977 album, Bat Out of Hell, one of the best-selling albums of all time. Like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes. But when the night is over, like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone, gone, gone. His songs helped define eras for so many. Marvin Leaday in Dallas, Texas. His father was a policeman, his mother an English teacher. Meatloaf taking his stage name from a childhood nickname. And then he took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, it must have been while you were kissing me. Performing on Broadway and in films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. In Fight Club.
First rule is, I'm not supposed to talk about it.
But more than anything, it's his voice. Fans are celebrating tonight. Let me sleep on it. Baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
So many times people feel like they're in a situation and nobody else is in that same situation. That's what I meant music for. So that people feel that they're never alone. In a bad situation or in a good situation. And that's why I'm here.
Tonight, his family saying Meatloaf passed away surrounded by his wife, his daughters, and close friends. Writing from his heart to your souls, don't ever stop rocking.
No, I won't do that.
His songs playing in our heads all day, and we've loved it. Good night.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.